KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Slow down, you move too fast.
Good morning and welcome. This is the Dr. Trudy Pratt Show, Positively Healthy, and I'm Henry Cuenca, and my show is about passion and inspiration. We examine the lives of people who are driven by a compelling sense of purpose and that make a difference. Recent reports indicate that Reading is the fifth most dangerous city for U.S. women based on FBI crime statistics. In fact, forcible rapes in Shasta County and Anderson places Shasta County ninth in the nation per 100,000 population in the year 2010. The average number of violent crimes, rapes, and domestic violence is at an all-time high in Shasta County. And today's guests are three powerful women, some enduring significant abuse themselves, are here to discuss the emotion of sexual abuse and their passion in working for the benefit of abused victims. I'd like to introduce you to our three guests this morning. Dana Anderson, Katie Monoletti, and Angela McClure. Good morning and welcome to the show.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good
How
morning.
Are you folks today?
Awesome. Awake.
Beautiful day.
Okay. I'd like to start the show this morning by doing a brief introduction for each of you. You each represent different organizations. And Dana, why don't we start with you and just tell us a little profile of who you are connected with in this realm.
Okay, great. My name's Dana, and I'm chair of Voices Against Family Violence. Voices is part of a national outreach on behalf of justice centers across the world that speak out against family violence. So we started one here in Shasta County last summer. And we started with just two or three of us that were passionate about getting the word out about domestic violence prevention and education, and we're all survivors. We now have almost two dozen women that are survivors of some type of family violence. Most often it's domestic violence, but also can be sexual assault, child abuse, or elder abuse. And all of us...
Just the whole gamut... Of abuse.
Yes.
Angela, you're with the district attorney's office. Could you tell us what you do?
Yes, I'm the program director for the Crime Victims Assistance Center, and then also was the lead in helping open up the Shasta Family Justice Center.
Mm-hmm. And just tell us briefly what the Family Justice Center is.
Basically, it's a one-stop shop for victims of family violence, and we've taken a representative from each of the main agencies where, at one time, victims would have to travel all around the county. They are now, there's a representative of each of those agencies in the Justice Center.
Mm-hmm.
And we're offering just the services, everything that a victim would need from legal services to housing, food, clothing, shelter, mm-hmm. counselors, and just somebody
Quite
to talk to.
Quite an extensive network of services,
yes.
No question. Katie, you're with the Shasta Women's Refuge, and tell us a little bit about the refuge and your work.
Well, I've been with Shasta Women's Refuge for almost 5 years now. I'm the Community Education and Outreach Manager there. So my main priority is prevention. It's education in the school system, kindergarten through 12th grade classrooms. We speak about bullying, domestic violence, sexual assaults, obviously age-appropriate curriculum. But I also do a little bit of everything. We have four advocates now over at the Shasta Family Justice Center, and I get to see clients there as well on a fill-in basis. We have been extremely busy lately, so I've been seeing a lot more clients as they come through the doors. I don't think we've ever seen this many clients in the history of our agency. We've been around for about 33 years now. We also assist with shelter. We help with restraining orders. But all of our services are now located in the Shasta Family mm-hmm. Justice Center.
You know, I'd like to get your views, all three of your perspectives, on why there's all of a sudden just such a spike on this type of activity. But we're going to address those that question here right after our first break. This is KCNR 1460, Shasta Redding, the home of Free Fire Media. And we're going to be right back.
Got to make the morning last, just kicking down the cobblestones, looking for fun and feeling groovy.
Today, most beef and poultry products come from factory farms, from animals raised in confinement, fed antibiotics, and genetically modified organisms. Fortunately, there's a local source of humanely raised grass-fed beef, organic chickens, and pastured free-range eggs. The Martin family at the Lazy 69 Ranch near Round Mountain wants you to get back in touch with your food and your farmer. Look for Lazy 69 products at Orchard Nutrition, Holiday Market, Sunset Market, or online at lazy69ranch.com.
Hi, I'm Bob Moore from Moore's Flour Mill, and I'd like to clear up some confusion. Measure B has nothing to do with the proposed shopping mall on Knighton Road. Measure B is an extreme measure that would dictate what hundreds of private property owners can or cannot do with their land. Measure B is supposed to protect farming, but if it passes, I won't be able to expand my organic farm in Cherry Creek Bottom or allow the public to buy fresh milled grain products at the farm. So please, vote no on Measure B. It's got absolutely nothing to do with the shopping mall.
Paid for by Moore's Flour Mill.
I'm here with Joe Adamson of Adamson's Peak Performance. What's going on at Adamson's?
Hi, Rachel. Summer's almost here, and you know what that means. Swimsuits, shorts, tank tops. Now's the time to get started. Virtually every client that comes to Adamson's Peak Performance wants three things: lose fat, look better, and feel healthier. We've developed a personal training and nutrition program that accomplishes just that.
Can you tell us a little bit about this program?
Yes, it's called the New Body 180 because it's 180 days long and because it includes everything you need to make a 180-degree change in the way you look and feel.
Well, I hear you've had some really great results with this program.
We've had women lose up to 3 jean sizes in just the first 12 weeks.
To get started or for more information on the New Body 180, call Steve at 221-8006 or go online to adamsonspeakperformance.com. Get the New Body 180. Turn your life around with Adamson's Peak Performance.
The hotline is open on KCNR 1460, 530-605-4567.
Back. This is Henry Cuenca, and right before our break, Katie had noted that there has been a tremendous spike of crime activity, sexual abuse, and so forth. And I'd kind of like this, which is consistent with the report that was recently published about Reading being one of the top most dangerous cities in the country. Let me get your perspectives on these things. Why is this happening? Why do you think that this is happening all of a sudden? Katie?
I don't necessarily think that abuse just came out of nowhere and it's happening, you know, so much more than it was in the past. I know that there are different contributing factors. Poverty, drugs, alcohol obviously have also increased in the last couple of months. But I think that access to services or just the comfortability of finding those services has increased. Mm-hmm. It's a difficult issue to track, domestic violence and sexual assault. They're very underreported crimes. And
would you estimate what percentage of crimes that are not reported?
National, we go away to trainings, and so the national studies show that only 25% of victims will actually report crime. And so with the word of mouth about the Shasta Family Justice Center, you know, in the first month of opening in 2010, in September, we had 33 visits. And in the last month, we had 560-some-odd visits for requests for service. And there have been, I think we're on our almost 5,000 requests for service in just 2 years. And so it just has, it's drastically increased each month to where there was a Friday a couple of weeks ago that I went in, and there were 45 people had come in just that day. And mind you, we only have maybe a staff of 10 people helping 45
remarkable.
In a day. It was just, it's overwhelming, but these people need your help. And so
you
have to be there for them.
Dana, could you comment on that?
I know that the benefits of the Justice Center opening, it changed the way that I reported crimes and how it's empowered a lot more women to come forward and make reports.
Mm-hmm.
They're wrapped with the services and with people like Dana who understand the situations that they've been in. Mm-hmm. And so it's just a comfortable, and it's a place to go where they're understood. They're not turned away. Mm-hmm. They're given the resources that they need. And then just given that support, I think, is the biggest contributing factor. And Dana really helps make that possible.
Well, yeah, Angela, you said that you stated that basically 25% of all violent crimes and sexual abuse are reported. That is to say that there's 75% more that's going out there, right? That's going on, which is just an enormous amount of activity. I mean, just remarkable.
I keep track of the crime stats for Shasta County, and every month, on average, there are at least 175 reported instances of some type of family violence.
What's the most common family violence, crime?
It's domestic violence is most common, but with that, typically there will end up being, we'll find out child abuse going on, there some elder abuse going on if there's a grandparent in the home, or financial abuse of that person, and then, you know, often sexual assault, in that. It's a crime of power and control, and somebody asserting themselves, that dominant over another person, the dominance.
I'd like to, just for a second, switch gears a little bit, because I'd like to, you ladies have all endured some very compelling life stories that has basically linked you to this work that you do. So I'd like to just probe a little bit as to your personal involvement, you know, where you were born and family dynamics and those kinds of things. And Dana, can we start with you and just tell us where you were born?
I'm laughing already. I was born in Cottonwood. Yes, I realize there's no hospitals there, but a next-door neighbor delivered me for $100. So that's my roots, Cottonwood.
That's pretty simple. And so you were raised in Cottonwood, and you had tell our audience about your growing up.
Well, I have seven brothers and sisters, five sisters and two brothers, so that was interesting. Just growing up, we didn't have a lot of resources, and we went through a lot of hard times.
And I understand that all eight of you lived in a trailer.
We did. It was not glamorous. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there was a point when we all shared a two-bedroom trailer, and
That's a lot of people in a two-room trailer.
Yeah, not everybody had a bed, so that was just normal for me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I kind of gathered then that your parents were not professionally engaged in employment.
No, my dad never really believed in working for another person or an agency. Mm-hmm. So he decided to work on his own through selling firewood or various jobs, fixing cars and such. So there never really was any much of an income that came in through the house.
How does a family of 10 subsist with no primary economic base bringing in dollars?
Well, we all learned to cut firewood, mm-hmm. and stack it, and we did that. We cut a lot of firewood growing up, mm-hmm. Probably from the time I was 5. There's pictures of me with, you know, stacking wood, mm-hmm. and so.
Well, that's not a bad trait to learn, I would say.
I'm still stacking firewood.
And tell us about your mother. I mean, what did she do?
Well, she was busy at home.
I can imagine. Perpetual cooking, I would imagine. Right?
Yeah. Big pots, mm-hmm. were always brewing on the stove. Canned goods and making jam. And we kind of had a farm. So, you know, when we were hungry, somebody had to go out and kill something.
Really?
And serve it up for dinner.
Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of fish and wildlife, deer, and
yes.
those kinds of things, right? Did you raise animals?
We did. Uh-huh. Yeah.
You know how to pluck a chicken?
I have.
You've done it all.
I have. It's not something I actually ever want to do again.
Okay. Angela, tell us about yourself, where you were born.
I grew up in the Los Angeles area in Norwalk, and it was a primarily Hispanic area. My parents had lived next door to each other since they were 5 and 7, and they both, my father came from a large family, and they are products of the 60s. They married at the ages of 16 and 18. I guess there was a draft going on, I was told. And so once the draft started, they got married, and then they were also drafting married people, and so I came along as to keep my dad out of going to war, is what I was told.
Did you have brothers and sisters?
I have two younger brothers, mm-hmm. and they're my parents, blue-collar worker, but mm-hmm. my father was involved with, I believe, Hell's Angels at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was a life of, there were just a lot of different drugs and, you know, illegal dealings going on, and I just grew up knowing that I didn't want to be involved in anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and how did your mother balance this environment off?
She's very docile, very just subservient is what I can remember. And you know, Dad was in charge of everything, and she just kind of went along and kept her head down.
Okay. I'd like to ask you a few more questions, but we do have a break here. And, again, this is KCNR 1460 Shasta Redding, the home of Free Fire Media, and we're going to be right back. Thank you.
Slow down. You move too fast. You got to make the moment last.
What do you look for in a building contractor? Experience and quality, and someone who's reliable? Dennis Janeway hits the mark. Dennis has got more than 30 years' experience doing all types of construction. So whether the job is big or small, new home construction or a kitchen or bathroom remodel, call Dennis Janeway today at 604-6702. For experience, quality, and reliability, call Dennis Janeway Construction, 604-6702.
You worked hard to get to this point. You eat properly and take care of yourself. There are just a few areas that still are giving you problems. That's where we come in. We can help sculpt those trouble spots. Body Genesis. 356-2590. Man made better.
Have you been thinking about installing solar power system for your home or office? Maybe you looked into solar power a couple of years ago and thought it was way too expensive. Hi, I'm Dennis Patterson with West Coast Sustainables, and I have great news. The cost of a solar power system has dropped dramatically in the last 2 years, and the federal tax credits have increased to 30% of the cost of a system. Now is a great time to give solar a closer look. The news is full of warnings about the cost of energy going up soon, and the best way to keep your cost of energy cheap and stable is installing solar power. If you talk to us, we answer all of your questions, explain how solar works, and how it will affect your monthly bill. For a free in-home consultation, please give us a call, 524-9652, or email dennis@westcoastsustainables.com.
You're listening to KCNR 1460, community radio for the North State.
Hello, this is Henry Quinkin, and welcome back. And we're interviewing our three wonderful ladies that have certainly passion by through their own experiences of living in abusive environments. And Katie, could you tell us a little bit about yourself? You're from...
Well, I was actually born here in Redding, but I was raised in beautiful Dunsmuir, California. And I have one older sister. My mom was able to stay home with us and opened a daycare so that she could stay home with us mm-hmm. and raise her kids herself.
That's a pretty progressive idea.
It was, mm-hmm. and she's an amazing person. She is a great role model for myself. I would love to be her when I grow up.
Well, she's your sense of inspiration, isn't she?
Very much.
Uh-huh. So tell us more about your life growing up.
I think it was a pretty standard, you know, childhood, except there was no such thing as fast food. sometimes we didn't have electricity. We played in the dirt and the snow and, you know, ate bugs and did crazy things that little kids do, had mud fights. And I was really pretty oblivious to any negative or abusive things that were going on at that time.
Mm-hmm. So, Dana, could you kind of characterize some of the abusive things that you experienced or saw when you were growing up?
Well, when I was younger, I saw a lot of violence between my parents, and I didn't know what to call it, or I would have never labeled it as domestic violence. I just knew that they fought a lot, mm-hmm. and my mom had a really violent temper, and she would say she was going to discipline the children, but she would, you know, essentially, you know, she beat them, and mm-hmm. She was just very violent, mm-hmm. and my dad was physically violent with my mom, and oftentimes I would step in, and actually every time I remember I would step in and tell her to stop, and I would stop it, mm-hmm. and it put an enormous responsibility on myself mm-hmm. to try to control the dynamics of the family, mm-hmm. and it actually put me in a real bad situation, mm-hmm. and
thank you, sir.
Yeah, I saw, there was a lot of violence.
Now, I understand that it was part of a morning ritual that you had to salute your father?
Yeah, I'm laughing now just thinking of it. Yeah, we lined up, and he did want us to say, yes, sir, father, sir, and we all had to address our parents as mother and father, and so we did, and yeah, that started when I was five. Mm-hmm. So I've always addressed them as mother and father. And then my dad, we also had to partake in physical exercise in the morning. So 100 push-ups, 100 sit-ups, 100 jumping jacks,
wow.
climbers, mm-hmm. run laps. Then we, it just sounds so funny. We'd divide up into two teams and play a game of family basketball or soccer and, there were pretty much no rules, so we tackled each other.
Well, that sounded kind of positive.
Well, I had no problem with the physical exercise.
Uh-huh.
That was just part of the disciplined training that my dad wanted us to have.
And what was this saluting all about?
I think he really demanded respect from us,
mm-hmm.
and I didn't respect him, but I still had to salute him.
Oh, really emotional situation.
So, yeah, it was interesting. He just was very controlling,
mm-hmm.
and that's how he kept us in line.
Mm-hmm. Angela, would you say that you were exposed to violence or abusiveness in your childhood years?
Yeah, most definitely. My father was very controlling. He was physically abusive towards my mom. He was physically abusive towards all the kids. And by the time I was 10 and 11, I was throwing myself in the middle of stopping him from hurting my mom. And I would go to call the police, and he'd rip the phone out of the wall.
Oh, my goodness.
So, yeah, he was horribly abusive. And, yeah, I left home at 15. She wouldn't leave him, and they're still together to this day. I don't really have a relationship with him because he is so. Mm-hmm. But he had drug and alcohol problems, and mm-hmm. so, yeah, definitely.
So you moved out at young age, and you moved where?
I moved out and moved in with a girlfriend and her mom and stayed with them and put myself back in school, and I just signed my own notes and mm-hmm. and basically got a job and was taking care of myself and paying rent.
Mm-hmm. Katie, could you describe any part of your growing up years as challenging or abusive in any way?
I think my mom worked really hard to shield me from any negativity that was going on or abusive things that were going on. I think the abuse that I did see was really in my community. We always had kids living in our house. We always had neighbor kids staying with us. And I did not find out why that was happening until I was probably in my, you know, preteen years. And it was because their homes were not safe. So our house was like the little shelter, basically, of the neighborhood.
And you experienced some rape situations up in, was it Dunsmuir, where you were growing up?
Some what?
Rape circumstances?
No, not in that time period.
I'm sorry. So the thing that is really impressive to me is the fact that all of you, you three women here, grew up in real meager, questionable circumstances. Very, very challenging, difficult. But I look at you all now, and you hold bachelor's degrees. You have master's degrees. You have working towards doctorate degrees. And these are significant milestones that I think that each one of you have accomplished. And do you attribute this need for education and growth? Do you attribute that to your upbringing? And I'm not going to let you answer that because we're going to take our break, but I'd really like to link your life, younger years in life, to this educational pursuit that each of you are doing. Again, this is KCNR 1460, Shasta Redding, the home of Free Fire Media, and we'll be right back.
Too tired or busy to cook at home or go out to eat? We can bring the restaurant to you. Hi, I'm Jeff from Entree Express. We've been delivering lunch and dinner from your favorite Redding restaurants for 17 years. We can deliver to your home, office, or hotel room. Enjoy your favorites from 25 restaurants by calling Entree Express at 224-9791. That's 224-9791. Or you can Google Entree Express of Redding to find our website.
The degree to which we enjoy good health, vitality, and freedom from pain and suffering is directly related to the level of responsibility we're willing to assume for our bodies and our lives. Hi, I'm Nancy Sutton Pierce, host of the Conscious Living Show every Saturday, KCNR1460.com. My show is about helping you uncover your authentic self, discussing health, laughter, love, truth, sex, and so much more. We awaken to who we really are and why we're here, then life improves. Bon Jovi says, I'm going to live while I'm alive. Are you? Tune in every Saturday, 11 to noon, KCNR 1460, streaming live, KCNR1460.com. My website, ConsciousLivingYoga.com, will give you more information. The Conscious Living Show is proudly sponsored by Orchard Nutrition Center, Gorilla Bites, and Fields Jewelers.
Hi, this is Ron Lim from Lim's Pharmacy. My staff and I would like to invite you to come and try our personalized, fast, friendly service that has always been the foundation of our pharmacy. We have been serving the Redding area for over 30 years. We solve insurance problems quickly and efficiently. We accept Medi-Cal, work comp, and most insurances. Lim's Pharmacy is located inside the Shasta Community Health Center at Placer and Continental Streets. And you don't have to be a patient of the clinic to come to us. Call us at 241-8700 for more info. Thank you.
Slow down, you move too fast.
Welcome back to the show, and we're talking about the linkage between the difficult challenges that these three guests had in their childhood. We're trying to link their experiences growing up to the pursuit of higher education. And Dana, I know that you're working towards a doctorate degree. You hold a bachelor's degree and a master's degree, bachelor's in criminology. Could you link for us your life's experience growing up that made you pursue these educational visions?
Well, I initially, after graduating from high school, I didn't go to school and didn't return to school to get my associate's degree until after I had my first child. And I decided to pursue a degree in criminal justice because I had a lot of questions about my family background and all this violence in the family. There was a lot of things I didn't understand about why the family kept secrets. I mean, there was horrific domestic violence in all of my family, cousins, aunts, uncles. There was...
So it was inbred in everybody's DNA, it sounds like.
There was, you know, children were being, you know, raped from the time they were born. My grandma was beaten till she was put in a mental institution. You know, my grandpa was in trouble with the law, changed his name, social security number, and disappeared for 30 years.
Oh, my goodness.
Until he was found, you know, dead with a gunshot wound to the head. And there was all these mysteries, and I wanted to solve them. I wanted to understand
why everyone kept these secrets and why victims stayed in these relationships.
So these were the foundational things that you endured that really posed you to find out why these things were going on.
And I didn't know much.
Yeah.
So when I was going to school, I found out this stuff, everything that's going on in my family, this is really highly dysfunctional. And I didn't realize how dysfunctional it was until I started learning more.
So that's the pursuit of additional learning and education.
And I realized I still would like to know more, and I still don't understand all the dynamics in the family.
Mm-hmm.
And I have siblings that have been raped or gang raped or molested, and they don't report it, and they don't get counseling, or they don't get help.
Mm-hmm.
So it's confusing. I want to help make a difference, and I want to learn more and educate myself so I can be in a position to help them.
Yeah. Katie, you have a bachelor's degree in psychology. Can you link that in any way to your growing up?
I think it's pretty simple. The things that I saw, I wanted to stop. I wanted to prevent. I wanted to help specifically kids. But I don't think it was until my junior or senior year in high school that I really knew I wanted to focus on psychology, and that was when my PE teacher actually sat all of us girls down one day and told us that she had been raped in college and that there was not help for her, that she didn't have anyone to talk to. And I wanted to be that person. I want to work, you know, on school campuses and work with kids and be that trusting adult that they can confide in.
Angela, you have a master's degree. Tell us a little bit about your educational background and why you got into these fields.
Same reason that these ladies, I think, you know, when you go to school and that's the safe place and you're learning so much about what's right and wrong and you're realizing at your own home that there's this dysfunction going on, you want to take that, make that difference. And I had an associate's degree as a paralegal and I wanted to get into the legal field, family law particularly, and I did, and then moved on from there to get a bachelor's of science in political science. I was ended up wanting to go to law school, but then shifted gears and went for the master's of counseling psychology because I was working as an investigator and I was helping children get into guardianship situations away from their dysfunctional parents. And so you need to understand the dynamics of why people do what they do. And so that's what interests me in the
who has been your inspiration for your life to reach these higher plateaus?
I have an aunt who started off working in a wood factory and ended up as the West Coast operations manager for Evenflow Juvenile Products. And she was very inspirational.
So she was actually the one that segued you to changing a direction, a course for your life then?
Oh, definitely. My outlying family, I mean, my grandparents and aunts and uncles, they were all involved in Air Force and just military background and really great people. And so I didn't understand how did they have this bad seed child. My dad, when he had such great brothers and sisters who were very loving, kind people, and there was no dysfunction or domestic violence in their families. So.
Interesting. Dana, who is the source of your inspiration?
That's a funny question to ask. I'm thinking growing up, I didn't have anybody that was inspiring me to pursue a higher education. What was inspiring me is that I didn't want to live in poverty and I wanted to do something different with my life. Now I would say my inspiration would be Casey Gwynn, founder of the Justice Centers. Michael Burke's an inspiration, director of the Justice Center. You know, Angela McClure and all of her work. All of that's really inspiring.
Good for you. Katie, a source of inspiration for you?
I would definitely have to say the women in my life. My grandmother, who worked as a cashier in a grocery store her entire life and wasn't able to stay home and raise her kids. My mom, who basically didn't give me an option. She told me I had to go to college. There was no other option because she didn't want me to have the life that she had. She wanted to be an attorney her whole life, and she never got to reach that goal. And then my big sister, who was the first person to go to college in my family, and I was just so proud of her, and I never thought it was an attainable goal until I saw her do it. So the women in my life are pretty amazing.
Well, good for you. We do need to take another break, and we're going to be right back. Again, this is KCNR 1460, Shasta Redding, the home of Free Fire Media. We'll be right back. Thank you.
You got to make the morning last, just kick 'em down.
Today, most beef and poultry products come from factory farms, from animals raised in confinement, fed antibiotics, and genetically modified organisms. Fortunately, there's a local source of humanely raised grass-fed beef, organic chickens, and pastured free-range eggs. The Martin family at the Lazy 69 Ranch near Round Mountain wants you to get back in touch with your food and your farmer. Look for Lazy 69 products at Orchard Nutrition, Holiday Market, Sunset Market, or online at lazy69ranch.com.
In this election, we can vote for more jobs, better public safety, and planning the right way. We can do this by voting yes on Measure A. Measure A will allow a new retail center at Knighton Road and I-5 to go forward. This project has been publicly and thoughtfully planned for years and will bring dramatic safety and traffic improvements to the area. The Greater Reading Chamber of Commerce supports Measure A because the retail business is still strong in Shasta County, and the project will create 1,600 jobs from managerial to entry level. Let's remember, with unemployment still over 14% in Shasta County, there are thousands of local residents who just want to get back to work. Measure A will also generate new revenue for our sheriff's deputies and local schools. Join the Shasta Deputy Sheriff's Association and the Reading Record Searchlight. Vote yes on Measure A. It's about doing things the right way. Paid for by Shasta Citizens for Jobs. Yes on Measure A. Build Knighton Retail Center. Sponsored and major funding by Hawkins Companies.
Hi, I'm Sharon Clark of Home Helpers. It's amazing to look back at all the families we've touched since 2004. But our clients say it best.
I want to express my deep appreciation for the love and support you and your...
So fortunate to have an organization like Home Helpers.
You'll never know how much your contribution meant or how greatly you touched our lives.
Thank you so much for helping me care for my husband.
After hearing what it's meant to them, I truly can't imagine doing anything else. When you need help for your loved one, choose Home Helpers. There is no place like home.
Slow down, you move too fast.
Welcome back. This is Henry Cuenca. And Angela, I wanted to ask you, I know that a big part of you is wanting to empower people that have these tragedies. And could you take us back to your work in Camp Hope and Camp for Life?
Yeah, definitely. One of the promises I made to Casey Gwynn, Dana mentioned earlier, he's the founder of the Family Justice Center movement across America, and he had houseboated here in Shasta as a child, and he said, what a great place for a camp. He also started a camp down in San Diego for kids, and you can go on the website, it's San Diego Camp Hope, and see the story of these children who get together, and they've all experienced some sort of tragedy or chaotic lifestyle or, you know, just family violence, and they go to this camp together, and they're able to bond and share these experiences and then learn from them. And so I'm hoping that, because we didn't have that when we were kids, learning from these experiences to break that cycle of domestic violence, teach these kids that this is not a normal way to live. You can go to this place and have fun and just be a kid, and just instill that hope in them that there's somebody out there, there's a place to go.
And you've been involved in this here in Shasta County for how long now?
I wrote the grant in 2009. There were 26 applications to Blue Shield, and there were only 5 counties chosen. Uh-huh. And so we were a pilot project from Blue Shield and from the National Justice Center Alliance, and they came up and they provided support, and our community, we had such a great, strong community. They all collaborated, and then we opened the Justice Center in 2010.
Could you give us a profile of those that are signing up for camps?
Well, it's the parents who have gone through the Justice Center, through Women's Refuge, through they might have a parent partner on the Child Abuse Prevention Coordinating Council, Intertribal Council who helps with the Native American families. And so the families have had some kind of turmoil. There's either child abuse, there's sexual assault, there's domestic violence, and these kids have experienced that, and those are the kids who we have signed up.
I see. And the can you see the fruits of your work? I mean, for those kids that have gone through these camps, have you?
Well, this is our first year ever, but you can definitely see with the kids at the other camps in San Diego. They have the video I explained, and they just talk. It's just the best experience I've ever had in their life to go somewhere to learn alternatives, and then just to be able to have those first experiences of catching a fish and going on a boat, going tubing, and we work with horses. We do a lot of equine therapy with the kids, teach them about, you know, the responsibility and the compassion for animals and kindness. And so, yeah, definitely positive.
Sounds like a very, very inspirational program. Katie, being with the Women's Shasta Refuge Center, I know that you have a big undertaking that you're in charge with that we recently had here. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yes, I think you're talking about Take Back the Night,
yes,
which happens annually in April. April is Sexual Assault Awareness Month nationally. And Take Back the Night is really a community event to get people involved in ending sexual violence in our community. We really want to stand up and say we're not going to put up with this. Shasta County needs to be a safe place for everyone, men, women, and children, to be able to walk around at night and not be scared for their lives or their safety. And we get to hear different survivors of sexual abuse share their stories and support one another. It's just a really, really motivating, really positive event that anybody can get involved in every single year.
Mm-hmm. And what are some of the fruits of your work that you could tell our audience about?
Well,
I mean,
she does a lot of education. The kids in the schools, I think, is huge.
Uh-huh.
And I think that showed at this last Take Back the Night event, where the audience members were very young. The information is pretty mature, and we don't really promote having young children attend these events. But because we've been doing so much outreach in the schools, we have found so many teenagers who want to be activists, who
really
want to help and advocate on behalf of their friends and be positive bystanders.
And that's because they undoubtedly know somebody that has endured some of these calamities.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, teen dating violence is very prevalent in Shasta County, as is the forcible rape. And
can you
so
explain that a little bit, teen dating violence?
I think Katie could probably best explain.
Okay.
Well, teen dating violence is similar to domestic violence. It can be any abuse between two people who are dating or even in a long-term relationship. And that can be verbal abuse, physical abuse, pressure to go further sexually. But in a teenage relationship, it can be even more detrimental, because many times this is their first serious relationship and they don't know what's necessarily healthy or unhealthy. So in addition to going into the schools and talking about what abuse is, we really like to teach and discuss with the kids what healthy relationships look like,
mm-hmm,
so that they can start practicing that good communication and positive relationships with each other.
So I guess that each of you individually are really role models for a lot of these kids.
They try to be.
I don't think it'd be very hard for you. But Dana, can you tell us about Voice?
Voices Against Family Violence in Shasta County. We're all women who are survivors, who at one time lost our voice and kept our secret and were silent. And many of us vowed to never speak out and share our story. And now these women are empowered and they're coming forward and they're sharing their story with others, and it's really powerful, and they're doing it, and it's changing the dynamics in other people that hear their stories, and it gives them the power to say, hey, I'm going to, you know, I can leave this relationship. It's not healthy. Hearing other people's story can make them feel that they're not alone.
Mm-hmm.
And so now we have many women that are coming forward and they're sharing their story publicly. And we just started a DV series on Channel 7 last Monday. UV was the first to share her story. And it was very powerful for other women to hear and know that they can join voices and share their story in an effort to bring, you know, education and awareness in the community.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. I want to ask you some more questions on that, but we do need to take another break. And again, this is Henry Cuenca at KCNR 1460 Shasta Redding. We'll be right back.
You got to make the morning last, just kicking down the cobblestones, looking for fun and feeling groovy.
What do you look for in a building contractor? Experience and quality, and someone who's reliable? Dennis Janeway hits the mark. Dennis has got more than 30 years' experience doing all types of construction. So whether the job is big or small, new home construction or a kitchen or bathroom remodel, call Dennis Janeway today at 604-6702. For experience, quality, and reliability, call Dennis Janeway Construction, 604-6702.
Hi, I'm Bob Moore from Moore's Flour Mill, and I'd like to clear up some confusion. Measure B has nothing to do with the proposed shopping mall on Knighton Road. Measure B is an extreme measure that would dictate what hundreds of private property owners can or cannot do with their land. Measure B is supposed to protect farming, but if it passes, I won't be able to expand my organic farm in Cherry Creek Bottom or allow the public to buy fresh milled grain products at the farm. So please, vote no on Measure B. It's got absolutely nothing to do with the shopping mall.
Paid for by Moore's Flour Mill.
Analog living in a digital world. Every week on Boomer Tech Radio, we explore how technology continues to impact our daily lives. Join us, Bob and Brenda Belongi, every Saturday from noon to 1 to learn about the latest goodies, gadgets, and gizmos, along with the breaking news that affects your day-to-day digital life. Boomer Tech Radio, brought to you by Advanced Automotive, safe, reliable car care for their customers and our community. That's Boomer Tech Radio, now noon to 1 on KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media.
Too tired or busy to cook at home or go out to eat? We can bring the restaurant to you. Hi, I'm Jeff from Entree Express. We've been delivering lunch and dinner from your favorite Reading restaurants for 17 years. We can deliver to your home, office, or hotel room. Enjoy your favorites from 25 restaurants by calling Entree Express at 224-9791. That's 224-9791. Or you can Google Entree Express of Reading to find our website.
Learn more about our shows and hosts. Check us out online at KCNR1460.com.
Welcome back. This is Henry Cuenca, and we're right now speaking with Dana. And Dana was telling us about Voices. And Dana, go ahead and continue to tell us more detail about Voices.
Okay. Well, we would love to have more women that are empowered join Voices. We have monthly meetings. We meet the third Friday of every month at noon at the Justice Center. Everybody RSVPs, and we provide lunch, and we have just an hour meeting about different activities where they can get involved. And we do a lot of fun community events. And also, Voices is starting a support group that's going to be the third Wednesday of every month from 12:30 to 1:30.
So what would a support group actually be, and how would they operate?
Well, this support group is actually for survivors that may have used services at the Women's Refuge or Justice Center, and they're just needing that connectivity with others and knowing they're not alone and just having that group support that they can go to.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, as survivors get stronger, they can join Voices and, you know, speak out at events or help volunteer or or be strong enough to share their story someday.
Mm-hmm. How long does it generally take if somebody's harboring an experience that they may have had 10, 20, 30, 40 years ago and hear about Voices and they step up and say, okay, I want to know more. I have a hidden story. There must be some hesitation or for some of these women to step up and say, yes, I had a horrible experience during my life.
Yeah. Sometimes it takes a long time to come forward. And one of my friends, I've known her 17 years, and she never spoke about what happened to her in her past. And she just recently did a video for Voices where she holds a sign saying, I was raped, mm-hmm. and now is going public. It's very, very brave.
Oh, absolutely.
And very powerful. And so this is her first time coming out.
Uh-huh. And generally, I mean, I'm sure that everybody just operates a little bit differently in terms of time, but is there a transition period, you know, for one to step up to to participate, where it really starts to impact their lives?
Yes. To join Voices, all the women need to be at least a year out of their violent situation and have counseling and be in a healthy position where they can, you know, have had some healing in their life for them to move on and go forward.
Mm-hmm. A question to all of you. You're right in the apex of all of this horrible stuff, violence that goes on. How do you find gratification? I mean, you must find enormous gratification in those lives that you're touching by these programs that you all offer.
Most definitely. When you see somebody, like Dana says, and they're in the middle of it and they're just torn and don't know what to do, and you can offer that stable voice and a reason and show them the way out, I think that, and you see them a year later, you know, go through the counseling and come back and be able to participate and help others, I think that's the reason we do this.
Mm-hmm. I think for me it's extremely rewarding when I have survivors, especially high schoolers, who go on to graduate a few years later and they come in and want to volunteer in my program to
come back. Wow, that is validation, isn't it?
And speak. I had a girl just this last semester who slipped me a note. She's a senior now, and it said, "You talked to my class when I was a freshman. Thank you so much." It made me go and report what was going on in my family, and now I live with a wonderful foster family, and I'm on my way to college in August, and her whole life has just been transformed. So just that one story right there has made the last 5 years of work extremely
fulfilling. Wow, isn't that something? Wow, that's terrific. Dana?
It's really amazing to watch women just transform in, you know, from being, you know, a victim to a survivor, mm-hmm. and for them to share how their life has changed mm-hmm. and how empowered they are. Desiree is an inspiration. She came to one of our first Voices meetings, and she had previously had her teeth knocked out by her husband.
Oh, boy.
The Justice Center had helped with resources and getting her a new smile. And she was just so excited to join Voices and share her story. And I've just seen her transform, and she's public everywhere. I mean, she is not afraid to share her story. And she is empowering women all over, and it's really inspiring.
Well, I would imagine it mm-hmm. certainly gives you a deep, deep, deep sense of accomplishment and gratification. We're talking a lot about women being abused. Are men abused?
They are. They are. And we have had men come in, and we don't turn away anyone. If somebody's being abused, we say come in. Men typically don't report as much as women. There's that sense of humility, but we have had...
Macho-ness,
yes,
I guess. Huh?
We've had men walk... I had a guy walk in with a stroller and the kids and said, I'm done. I'm done taking this, and I want it to change. And
now, how was he being abused?
Physically abused by his wife was attacking. Every time she'd get mad, she'd attack and hit him around the face or neck. And so we helped him get a restraining order, and he wanted out of the relationship.
Mm-hmm. Well, generally, you don't think of men being abused, but obviously, I mean, it does happen. So, Katie?
Well, I just know that part of the reason our numbers have gone up, we've been seeing so many more clients recently, a big piece of that has also been men. I have at least one male student come up to me after each school that I visit who says, you know, I'm in this relationship. I don't know what to do. I'm terrified to report it because I'm a man. I'm a guy. I'm supposed to be, you know, in control or in charge and not being hurt by my partner, whether that partner is male or female. And so I think they're realizing that they can come forward more, that we will hear them, that we will treat them equally, and that there are services for them as well.
Mm-hmm. So all of your services are for anybody?
Yes.
Right.
Except perpetrators of crime. We don't assist those who have perpetrated crime at the Justice Center. It's truly for victims mm-hmm. of crime.
Mm-hmm. But Shasta Women's Refuge will give resources to perpetrators, mm-hmm. basically send them in the right direction for counseling or education, where they can go to get help.
Right. We have just a short while left, and I'd just like to ask each of you, what advice can you give any of our listeners who may be in a abusive situation?
What we tell people typically is do something. You know, it typically takes somebody 5 to 7 times before they will leave a relationship of being abused. And so do something about it. Come talk to somebody. It's confidential. It's discreet. Just come down to the center and at least, you know, get that started.
Okay. Katie?
Secrets are dangerous. Tell someone. If you hear something going on in your family, neighborhood, anything, just pick up the phone and talk to somebody about it.
Yeah.
Dana? Trust your instincts. If it doesn't feel right, it's not.
Well, I want to thank you all very, very much. It's been a very, very emotional show. And I thank you. And this is KCNR 1460.
Fox News Radio. I'm Ron Flatter. There was cheering and jeering from surviving family members of the hundreds of protesters he was convicted of having a role in killing. Former Egyptian leader Hosni Mubarak was sentenced to spend the rest of his life in prison. In reaction, there was some shoving inside the courtroom today. Outside,
thousands flooded into Tahrir Square, protesting that Mubarak did not get the death penalty and also angry that a number of his deputies were acquitted on the most serious of charges.
Fox's Leland Vittard in Cairo. The 84-year-old Mubarak is in a Cairo prison hospital for what has been described as a health crisis. It's up to more than 350 square miles, the largest wildfire in New Mexico's history. The dry and windy weather not doing any favors for the firefighters, and that heat isn't just in New Mexico.
Across the Southwest, it's been hot. We've been raking records, and it's going to be another scorcher. 104 in Las Vegas expected to be the high, and 106 in Phoenix.
Fox News meteorologist Maria Molina.